As a dramatic narrative, that story I just read is somewhat unsatisfying. I think of it every year when we read it. After all the planning with the flowers and the trumpets and the songs, in the story itself, there's no flash of light, there's no earthquake, there are certainly no flowers or trumpets. Jesus himself doesn't even appear. There are just women with spices, the embalming fluid of their day. The same women who were always there, if you follow the story, who had walked with him from Galilee, who had provided for him out of their resources, who had stood watching the crucifixion when it might have made more sense to go away screaming. The women come for burial rites and are met by an empty tomb and two men doing what? Preaching a sermon. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember what he told you when he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be given over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again? At that moment, the story slows. Like a film that is suddenly going into slow motion, the women stand in that place of death doing what? Remembering. Before anything else happens on Easter, there is remembering. Before they run to tell the others, before they are disbelieved, before Peter runs back to the tomb and is amazed, the women who have been with Jesus all along remember. And so they have their whole experience put into perspective. Jesus is alive, and so are all his words, which speak promise and hope. The first gift of Easter is the gift of remembering. And I believe that this is a gift that we desperately need in these days. As the pandemic continues to hang on, as explosions of war echo throughout the world, remember that he promises death and resurrection. Remember that suffering and loss, however real, are not the end. Remember so that you may return from this place to the life that you have with a new way of thinking, a new way of loving, and a new way of seeing the past and leaning into the future. Remember what he told you. These words are a gift because, frankly, there are a lot of things that we can spend our time remembering. We can remember old times. We can remember people. We can try to remember names. We can remember how to get from one place to another or how to do a certain task. Sometimes we find ourselves trying to remember why we came into this room in the first place. And there are lots of ways to remember, particularly when it comes to the past, filters we can put on our memories, not all of which bring the life that Jesus intends for us. Take, for example, nostalgia. A few of us have been talking a lot about that these past few weeks. Nostalgia is, of course, a way of remembering the past in a way that looks on it as ideal, especially when compared to the present. Wasn't it great back in 2019 when we didn't have to think about a virus wherever we went? What would we need to do to get back to that? That was so great. But the danger, the hazard of nostalgia is that it can be memory without truth. The truth is that always the past has its problems and failures. Some years ago, in a congregation I served, I attended a meeting in which our president was reflecting on how great the childhood of his 1950s were, which was not like today. The treasurer spoke up. You realize, of course, that those were the days when segregation was the law of the land and when women couldn't have their own credit cards, he reminded us. When the memory of the past is frozen, a false ideal, it does not give courage to confront this present moment. Its lessons are locked away and inaccessible. When the two men invite the women to remember Jesus' words, they invite them to remember the whole truth. Galilee was the place where Jesus knew he would be crucified, would be betrayed and crucified, where he knew that he came for sinners, where he knew he would face the cross. So there's nostalgia, but nostalgia also has cousins like cynicism and regret, which feel different, but are similarly distorted. If nostalgia is memory through a filter, cynicism is memory under the harsh light of unrelenting disappointment. Nothing looks good under its glare. Once you went to fight to help people in faraway lands know something of the freedom we know in this country, now you wonder what the fighting was for. Once you ate well and exercised every single day in hopes of keeping your health, now you know there's nothing you could have done to avoid the diagnosis. Once you followed Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem with the hope of healing and redemption and salvation, now you find yourself up at dawn with spices and ointments. But listen to the Easter sermon of the two men dressed in dazzling white and sitting in a tomb. Remember what he has told you. He is alive now. Remember that there's no past so horrible he cannot forgive. Remember that even death is not the end. Remember that he fills our world now with his presence. In the original language of the gospel stories, the words for tomb and grave are variations on the word remember. They speak of something that is over and done with. By his rising, even the grave itself is transformed for a different kind of remembering. In Christian hope, even the tomb is a door to eternal life. This kind of remembering comes from God, who is very much alive, who spoke in the past and who lives in the present, and who will greet you in the future in a way that you cannot imagine. I do not know exactly what kinds of memories you have carried in here with you this morning. I know that it's true that on any given Sunday, and all the more on big Sundays like this one, there's always a big mix of things in our hearts and on our minds. There's grief and joy and doubt and celebration and fear and hope. These days, there's also been so much sadness that the world has put on our doorstep unbidden. So listen with the women and remember the words that he spoke to you, which he is still speaking to you. They require nothing of you except a trusting heart. Remember how he told you, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Remember, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Remember that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who don't need it. Remember, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.